Hi, everybody. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Who's this? Brian?
This is Brian, yeah.
Hey, Brian. I'm just waiting for Joanne to announce me, and then I'll get started when she's ready. I was having a little time, difficult time dialing in.
Do you do stickers?
Stickers for?
Class stickers.
Like for the students?
Retention stickers.
Absolutely. We actually have a whole entire curriculum. Our little kids' curriculum, 3 to 5, and our 5 to 8-year-old, we call them our mighty ninjas. They're a full curriculum that we give out, and we have rewards and stickers and so on and so forth.
So then, such as them?
Actually, we don't have them for sale unless people are actually teaching our curriculum, because they're actually character-based stickers. And they're pretty cool, but you could actually, if you're a member, I think, in my Next Level site on the first month, it shows our sales book, and it shows the characters and what they're all about. Those are the stickers that we actually give, and then we give rewards.
Oh, yeah.
We give rewards for the performance in class, and they save their stickers, and they can turn them in based on the amount of stickers for the rewards in the class, and it's just phenomenal. It's been doing incredible for us. So you could always check that out, and then a lot of people are using it. We even have the uniforms with the logos of the characters on it. It's just amazing. You there, Joanne?
Yep, I'm here. I was just waiting for you to... I'm actually going... We're at 2 o'clock now, so if you're ready to start, I'll go ahead and do the intro.
Ready to start whenever you are. How is the response? We have a bunch of people on?
Yeah, we have a bunch of people on. There's still people coming on. I can hear them beeping through.
Great.
So I'll probably have more in the next 5 or so minutes. But for anyone who's on the call right now, I want to thank you for joining us for today's teleconference. We had announced Allie will be going over what he calls getting over the summer blues. And just so you know, there are a few things to keep in mind when you're on this call. I will be putting Allie in what's called lecture mode, which means that Allie will be able to speak, and you'll all be able to hear him, but you won't be able to speak until I remove lecture mode. And what that helps us to do is to cut down on background noise of anything going on in your office. With the technology of phones today, we happen to pick up a lot of background noise, so we want to make sure that we're cutting that down to the bare minimum. And when Allie does call for question and answers, I will release the lecture mode. I do, however, request that when we do release lecture mode and you are able to ask questions, that you go ahead and hit *6 on your phone to mute your own phone if you're not speaking, and then when you're ready to release yourself from that mute, you would just hit *6 again. So again, you would hit *6 on your own phone, and then to release that mode, you would hit *6 again. And if you're ready to go, Allie, I'm going to go ahead and put it in next to lecture mode.
I'm ready.
Hey,
everyone. I'm ready to go.
Okay, go right ahead.
Okay. Hey, everyone. I hope you're doing great. This month marks my 1-year anniversary of service to Member Solutions as their lead consultant, and I'm amazed at how quickly time goes by. As you know, it's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day activities, and before you know it, seconds turn into minutes, minutes turn into hours, and months go by. Before you know it, the year's over. I don't know about you, but I'm shocked that we're already in August. We only have 4 months before the close of the year, and in 4 months we'll be watching the ball drop and we'll be setting goals for the new year. Some of us will have regrets. Some will have experienced celebration. And my question for you guys is, which one are you going to be, regret or celebration? I want to thank everybody for joining me today on the first of our 3 monthly conference calls for Member Solutions clients. If you're not technically on the line live, then thanks for tuning in afterwards in our recorded archives, because a lot of people do that. They listen to this after the live recording. Today's topic is powerful, interesting, and beneficial in more ways than one. Many years ago, I stumbled on a book called The E-Myth. The author is Michael Gerber. Many of you know him from his articles in Martial Arts Success magazine, as well as being one of the most well-known writers on business systems. He's sold millions of books worldwide. Mr. Gerber was also the keynote speaker at the Maya Show in Las Vegas some years ago. When I first read his first book, E-Myth, it struck a chord and it opened my eyes, and since then I've changed my life accordingly based on some of his principles. Now, what does the E-Myth mean and what does it have to do with this call? Well, the E-Myth is the entrepreneurial myth, the things that we believe to be true that are not true at all, or the things that we are led to believe due to simple chains of events, things that have happened to formulate our opinions in our lives about everything we do. So I want to take the time right now and take the E-Myth principles and relate it to what we believe about summer, what we believe it to affect our schools, our businesses, and so on. Also, how we look at back to school and any other areas of our lives. For example, we tend to believe that summer is a bad time for martial arts schools. While this may be true to some extent, we must realize that when times are bad, we shouldn't sit back and wait. I had an interesting conversation with a local business owner in my area. He owns a brand new fish market in town. And we do a great deal of co-op advertising with all the local businesses in our community. Basically, the concept is for the co-op advertisement is that we get local businesses to foot the bill for our advertising, and we do all the legwork. For instance, right now we do about 2,000 door hangers per week for each of our locations, and I have 5 locations. Many people ask me how they do advertising and how they should advertise their school on a shoestring budget. Well, this is probably the best way to do it. We get the local vendors to advertise on the back of the door hangers, and we charge them $250 per 1,000 that we print up. We take on the responsibility of delivering the door hangers. So virtually it's a no-cost advertising campaign for us because the person who's co-op advertising is actually paying for the printing cost. When I say no cost, it might cost us if we're paying people to deliver the door hangers, but normally we use team leaders or some of our main school people will go out and do that on their own. But this is a great way to build business loyalty as well as save money on your advertising. And just so you know also, if you're asking about door hangers, we have door hangers available on the takingittothenextlevel.com site. But anyway, we'll talk about this later on in the conversation about co-op advertising. And back to our topic, the summer myth. The question we need to ask ourselves is, why do we believe the myth? What is the myth, and why do we let it manifest? Now, typically in our industry, we believe and verify from others that specific times of the year reflect on the business that we receive. Clients that inquire about our company as well as attendance in our schools are based on certain specific times of the year. For instance, summer's slow because everyone's on vacation. This is the myth that we believe. Summer's slow because everyone's on vacation. It's too hot, so less people attend our classes. No one wants to work out in the summer. They're always at the beach. They're always on vacation. They're bored, and so on. Maybe to some extent, some of this information might be slightly true because certain little pieces of this information formulates our belief system. But the question is, if this is what we believe, then why are we not doing anything about it? If this is the case, then why do we sit back and just accept it? This is the entrepreneurial myth, the e-myth. So let's get back to the fish store. I stopped in to talk to the owner about co-op advertising, and he seemed very receptive to doing it, except he asked me if I could get back to him in the fall. I asked him why, and he said to me, typically the summer is slow. And I asked him if he advertised in the summer anywhere else, and he told me no. I then asked him, when does business start to drop off for him? He said to me around June, or the end of school, beginning of summer. And it lasted as a slow kind of period where he kind of just got through until the startup of school again. I asked him again, then when does he typically stop advertising? And he told me June. Now, I looked at him kind of funny, and I asked him to think about it for a second. There's no advertising and no new clients. And I asked him if he saw a direct correlation to what was happening. For instance, you know, well, he had a peculiar look on his face, and then he said, you know, he thanked me for that idea, but he didn't realize that the relationship to his marketing plans and his belief system directly related to the results he was getting. So, in essence, he was basically turning his belief system into a reality. He was creating the myth and believing in the myth and leading into the hype and making it happen. So I hope that by talking to him and giving him this idea that I broke his pattern a little, but the pattern of thinking. And he did tell me he wanted to advertise and do co-op advertising on the back of our door hanger, so he's going to have me do that next week with him. Anyway, now this is not to say that summer isn't a more difficult time, because it totally is. We all know that as school owners. It's just that with the proper preparation, we can make it through the summer and we can also come out ahead. The very essence of being a martial artist is not to accept particular outcomes. For instance, the bully picks on a child at the playground in school. We then in turn teach the child to defend themselves, so we change the outcome if this is to happen in the future. Why is it that with our businesses, we don't do this? Metaphorically, if the summer is the enemy, let's say, then why don't we do something about it? Why don't we defend ourselves against the enemy? Why don't we find a solution? I know this is kind of a concept that you guys will all agree with, but again, we fall into that myth. We need to believe other things. We need to break the myth. So here's a concept. How about advertising more? Why aren't we out there with more door hangers? Why aren't we out there doing more co-op advertising? Well, obviously the answer is because we bought into the myth and we're going to just wait it out until the time that comes when we should start advertising again. Secondly, even if we've tried to advertise through the slow periods of time and we haven't gotten the results, we have to realize that just by advertising, the results may not come in right now, but they may come in the back to school. Right now, when we market, now we're marketing for our back to school rush. It is now August, September. We're getting everyone who's starting to go back to school. Later on, we'll get our name recognition. Later on, we'll get our branding. Later on, we'll get our new students. So typically to advertise for summer, when are we going to start advertising? We have to start in maybe like April, somewhere around there, or May, starting to set up summer programs, summer camps, summer schools, summer seminars, buddy days, and so on. So for example, if your business is slow, the whole idea is that you didn't put enough preparation into your marketing plan. You didn't plan for the slow times. You didn't put in the legwork. If you did and you're not getting those results, then you know you might have to change your approach. For instance, the ad that you might use may not be working. For whatever reason you're using that ad, you have to reevaluate. Sometimes you need to change continually to see the results and see how they work. But you all know the saying, the definition of insanity is to continually do the same thing, expecting different results. So sometimes it's only a matter of fine-tuning little things over the course of a period of time, and that little fine-tuning will make the entire difference in the world. And also remember, if you're not moving forward continually, you're not doing something to bring your school forward, then your school is getting stagnant, and eventually it's going to die. You're going to find yourself at a lull with a low amount of enrollment, students dropping out, and so on. So we need to move forward continually in order to grow. And let's do this. Let's talk about five ideas for back to school. I know my topic is let's go over the summer blues. Right now we're out of summer. Technically we're out of the summer. It is August. We have 1 month left before, and some schools start in August, and some of the Midwestern states were getting back to school already. I know in our area in New York, September 4th or 5th is the first day of school for us. Actually, I think it's the 5th. So we have to start preparing for, you know, our new school year, getting over the summer blues. So let's get excited about this. Here are five tips that I'm going to give you guys to a great back-to-school year. Now, also, I want to point out, if for some reason I go too fast and you don't have all of these down, I'll try to repeat them on a few times. But if you don't get it all down, take some quick notes and then go back to our archives and listen back on this thing. Download this conference call onto a MP3 or burn it on a CD and listen to it over and over again. So number one, this is a great idea. Have a back-to-school buddy day. And here's how it works. Print a flyer and post it in your school. Ask all of your students to bring in their buddies on a specific day. Hand each student 10 passes to give to their friends. On the pass, have a really nicely designed pass. But on the back of the pass, design a waiver and disclaimer. So, for instance, the parents get this and they sign it. So that if the kid comes in with their friend, you already have a waiver signed by the parent protecting you from liability issues. But also have it as a questionnaire. Ask all the necessary information, address, telephone number, email, parent's interest. We need to know that the kid's not just interested and the parent doesn't want them to do it. We need to know that if the child is generally interested, will the parent be inclined to maybe bring them and join them in the school? So that'd be a good question. If your child is interested, would you sign them up in our location? If they say no, we know not to really follow up. Anyway, when we give them this pass, we get all their information. We then teach an exciting class, as you guys know, and then after the class is over, that's when our marketing frenzy begins. You know, we want to offer 10% discount if they sign up within 1 week. We want to maybe give them a 10% discount pass to bring home to their parents if they sign up within 1 week. We want to hit them with their email address and email them and remind them and maybe give them a congratulations letter, maybe even send them a PDF form of a certificate as a completion for the class and make the class a theme-based class. We want to continually use these people as our marketing tools. We want to be able to use them as our referral base, but this is one strong buddy day, and you could call it teacher or student appreciation day so they could bring in their friends. That's number one. Number two, I believe we have to do a series of name branding items that are inexpensive. Like, for instance, right now, back to school, you could be doing bookmarks, book covers, pencils with your names on it, and then you give these things out freely. We actually sell them in packages for really cheap packages in our store at atouchesend.com. We could actually design these for schools if you guys are interested, but I would get these things, get a whole package together, and give them out, hold contests, give them out to the students, give them enough so that they could give pencils to their friends with your logo and your name on it. We want to brand ourselves, our name brand, so that everybody who's walking around town has our logo on it, has our name, has our students, and it's preparing the pre-framing students that aren't in our school to think about our school. So that's number two, do a series of name branding items that are inexpensive, bookmarks, book covers, pencils, et cetera. Number three, I would try to do right now at this time of year, you might want to jump on it now, is have a college safety course for women. This is great for the parents that are in our school or parents in the neighborhood that have women, young girls, teenage women that are going off to college. Now, this may not lead to students right now, but it also certainly could be a great income generator. But at the time when you do this kind of service to make – you could even offer it for free as well. But when you do this kind of service, you build a good rapport with people in your community. Then at that particular time, you can offer a sibling discount to anyone who's interested. So you offer a college safety course to help the girls that are going away. Then for them, you offer a sibling discount. And at the same time, you give out free passes, you know, for parents, cousins, friends, and so on. Number four, I would start early right now with a letter to all the teachers of the students in your school. You give them, the students, a letter to bring to their teachers in their school. We start it now. We get it prepared, and we give it out. So like the first week or two in school, they're going to bring this letter to the teacher, and before their school calendar gets booked, they're already thinking about us. We want to let them know that we're available for school talks, visits, seminars, special person days, cultural days, anything that they need as an expert, we're there for them. Self-defense courses, I don't know, stranger danger, anything you could think of. We want to have an open door policy, and we want this to be our door to fun and excitement for the school systems. We want to become the most well-known martial artist in our town. We also want to let the kids know that we're available, too. So not only do they bring the teacher the lesson, but they're going to be asking their teacher when it comes up for special person day or any other events to have us come in, to visit their classrooms, to sit with them, to show them pictures and so on. So that's number four. Number five, we want to right now start our back to school marketing campaign. Right now we want to determine for the next 6 months where we're going to be advertising. We want to start right now getting people to think about what they're going to do once they're back to school and they don't have as much time to sit around and be lazy and hang out in the pool. We want to decide what papers we're in, what stores we're going to advertise, put our flyers in, where we're going to put threefolds or anything that they could give out for us, our co-op marketing, our business appreciations. We want to make sure that we set out our plan of action right now for the next 6 months. We want to prepare. We don't want to do this by fly by the seat of our pants. We want to be totally and highly motivated to getting our advertising and marketing campaign set. So remember, preparation is the best of all skills. We want to start setting our goals now, and we want to be 6 months ahead of the game. In fact, we want to maybe even do the next year. You know, we want to eliminate any chance of thinking, what should we do next? We want to sit it down now. We want to make sure that we know now what we're going to do for the future. So before I continue on, because you guys know I could talk and talk and talk, I want to open up a little area for questions. And if anyone has questions on the topic so far, just ask me. Don't worry, if it's not on topic, I'm going to leave 15 minutes at the end for open-ended questions. So anybody, if you have questions, just hit me with it now and don't feel funny, and then we'll move forward again.
Ellie?
Yes, sir.
Chris Dyer here. How are you, sir?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Great.
My question is, you mentioned the passes that you'll give out for the buddy, the buddy week or whatnot.
Yes.
Do you have something like that on your website or?
I have something that we just designed, and if you email me, and anyone out there wants to email me, I could get you a copy of it so you guys could see it. And I also, everything I talk about eventually that I have will be in a generic form, customizable to everybody here through the takingittothenextlevel.com site.
Okay.
I know that's a pain in the neck. I'd spend about $2,000 to $3,000 in graphics, design, and marketing every single month with my five schools. So I'm constantly designing new flyers and new campaigns and putting a ton of money into it. You guys should take advantage of it for, you know, the next level fee, you know, whatever it is, you get all that stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah, so email me, though. And everybody out there, my email, personal email, is Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I, L-I, like Long Island, abbreviated, Ninja, N-I-N-J-A, at AOL.com. That's Renshi, L-I, Ninja, at AOL.com. And the one thing I just want to clear up, a lot of people will tell me they feel funny emailing me. Well, that doesn't make sense to me. I mean, take advantage. You know, if I have something that I could share with you, take advantage of it. Don't be embarrassed. You know, a quick email takes you 5 seconds. Or you could call Member Solutions at the office. Joanne will forward you information. We have a really good network of, you know, getting information to people. So please take advantage of that because, you know, you could save yourselves hours and hours of time. You should do it. Take advantage of it. Anybody else?
Holly.
Yes, sir.
This is Larry Bullard in Georgia.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Doing great.
Great.
I just had a call probably 30 minutes ago from a parent who's going to be a room mom for PTO.
Oh, great.
And so my last words to her was that I would develop a letter to give to her, to give to the teachers, and she's also on the PTO at
Perfect.
The nearby elementary school. Do you have a format or a template?
Well, we actually do. You know what we use? We use our letter of intent on a regular basis. Our letter of intent is geared towards getting teacher approval for promotions, and it's also geared towards getting parent approval promotions for their students, but at the same time, we question the students and ask for their email because we'd like to stay in touch in reference to our students, and we also ask if we could be a part of special events if they're interested to leave their name and telephone number, and we could get back to them and send them a copy of our information. But I do have something formatted that I could send to you.
Okay.
So again, if you email me, just say what you're looking for, and I'll send out a copy of our letter that we use.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. And by the way, you said a PTO by us. It's a parent-teacher association. You have a parent-teacher organization over by you. So they're pretty much all the same. And I think that is a super powerful organization to be involved with. And let me give you a quick tidbit of a marketing thing to do with them. PTOs and PTAs and all the parent-teacher groups are basically funded by donations for charity events that they raise. So if you can hook up with someone who's a dedicated, motivated person towards your school that's in the PTO and tell them if they refer people to your organization and those people join, you'll give them a $25 donation in the name of the PTA for them for future events. So normally these people are always looking for fundraising things, how to raise money for their groups and events and seminars and field trips and so on. This is the perfect way for them to gain a whole bank account. Because if they got 50 people to join your school and you gave them, I don't know, $25, that's a large amount of money for them. So I would formulate some letter saying, listen, we want to help you help the kids. This is our way of giving back. We know that they're going to love what they do at our school, and we're going to help them. We also want to give back to you for your help.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes, sir.
Great. Anyone else?
At Rincey.
Yes, sir.
Whitewoods in Miami. How are
you? How are you?
Listen, in our county down here, this is the first week of school for the kids.
Great.
So, like, which of your 5 tips do you think would be, like, an emergency Band-Aid if you feel like you're a little bit behind?
Oh, that's great, though. That's true. You know, well, I wouldn't say any of them would be a Band-Aid. I would immediately get to them. I would think that right now you could start your advertising for your back-to-school buddy day. It doesn't have to be before school. Understand that back-to-school probably would be the first 2.5 months to the first quarter as they consider that back-to-school. Because they're getting adjusted, they're getting used to their new teachers, they're getting in the swing of things. That's why generally parents won't sign their children up right before school starts. Because they don't know what kind of workload they're going to take on, they don't know what their pressures are going to be, how they're going to tolerate and handle the classrooms and their teachers. So people are a little leery about that. So I would definitely do the buddy day. I would right away, any of these you could get on right now. They would work for you right straight through. I'm not sure about the college safety course. That's something that you could offer. That may be a little bit too late in your area, depending on when school starts. But definitely the back-to-school buddy day, and I would definitely start on the name branding and the letter going out to the teachers.
Okay, got it.
Great.
Thanks.
Anyone else? Okay. Let's do this. Let's move forward. So, Joanne, if you could put me back in lecture mode. Okay. Now, let's talk about the next few months because this is real, real important. I kind of said to you guys, let's start getting planned for the next 6 months. Let's get motivated to move forward and start planning ahead. By nature, martial artists are planners because we practice repetition so that we learn how to defend ourselves by reaction. We start to program muscle memory and we start to program reflexes, right? Well, I don't know if you possibly could train, we could train our reflexes to become better, but reflexes are just natural reaction. But we want to train muscle memory. We want to get our body used to specific methods of ways of doing things. So the problem, and I I hope not to ever insult any martial artist, but I'm a martial artist by nature. I've never really gone to college other than specific courses, but I've seminared my way into a successful life and livelihood. I've learned things specifically from masters that taught those specific things that I needed. So the problem with, I think, martial arts school owners is that we go and we use that entrepreneurial myth thinking that because we love karate and we do it well for our teacher, that we should open up our own martial arts school. Then we open up our own martial arts school blindly. It's almost like having a child. You never truly know what it's like until you've had more than one child, what to expect, and everything changes day to day. The problem with martial arts schools is we don't know where we're at. We don't know what to do. We don't know when to apply certain specific systems and methods and so on. So that's why I think preparation, sitting down, I would recommend to everybody to take a two-day weekend, either by themselves or with their spouse or their staff, and go just rent, even locally, to a hotel that has a swimming pool or a restaurant, and go stay for 2 days in a hotel and brainstorm. For the entire 2 days, brainstorm the next year of what you're going to do. Let's not wait until January. What's the sense of that? Let's now pick up and change the rest of our year to be the most productive part of the, you know, that we've ever had. So let me give you a few things for the next few months. Well, what we're going to do over the next few months, typically it's a very busy time. Back to school, normally in the period that I was telling one of the senseis about, is that, you know, maybe September when they first get started, August and September, people are afraid because they don't know of their workload, like I had just said. But October typically is a booming month for the martial art industry. I know it is for my schools. So here are some key points. Last we talked about five items, but here's 10 quick things that we could look for to develop and build recognition as well as building our businesses. So here's number one. Look for, in the local newspapers or the advertising magazines, for all the end of summer and fall fairs that are going on. Different fairs, like, you know, we have craft fairs in our area. We usually rent a booth for as low as $50. We do demonstrations all day long. One of our events brings in 50,000 people into our one community. Now, we have these around every one of our schools, and there's events like this going on everywhere for every different thing. The fall and end of summer is the best for this stuff. That's a huge amount of marketing for us. That's number one. Number two, look for all the special events within our community. For instance, fundraisers. You could look in the local paper for charity events that people are doing. Now, here's a really cool idea. Call up and offer to demo. If you don't have a demo team, then it doesn't matter. But offer them free passes for your school. If they have a sit-down dinner, for instance, they love to get these Chinese auction things going on. So they'll come in. Normally, they might come into your business and say, hey, can you donate a basket or can you donate some money? What I always do is I donate free week passes to every attendee at the place. And I say the free week pass is worth, you know, $20. So I'm giving you 500 of those or 400 of those for you to give to every one of your clients. It builds some value. Now, the amount of return that you may get might not be that large, but if you get five people or four people to join from this, that's a huge amount of money when it comes to client value. So look for fundraisers, what people are doing in your area, concerts, carnivals, anything that you could advertise. Think of everything as a marketing and advertising opportunity. You know, it's anything that you could think of that's bringing people in a group together is going to build. It's an area where you could build your marketing list, or you could get out there and, you know, give your flyers out. So that's number two. Number three, this is a whole other area where we get into media advertising, but there are probably a lot of local radio stations in your area. Local meaning like the guys that aren't the big people that interview people like Britney Spears and all the stars, but I mean the local ones that have talk shows and health on health, or like doctors that come in and talk about arthritis and so on. You could get on those local stations easy as an expert, or send a letter to them and offer your expertise in case they ever need it. But also ask if you could get on there and maybe do like a little interview with the person who's the host. Tell them you're talking about martial arts, maybe Stranger Danger for children, back to school tips for kids, back to school tips for college students, safety tips for people shopping during the holidays and so on. So that's number three. I could go on this as well. And you could also take that, instead of just doing radio interviews, also contact all your local newspapers and ask them if they want you, if you could write an article for them. Or maybe you could do a tip section on safety for children. Maybe they'll do that for you. And usually you could do it for free. Number four, speak to all the sports-related coaches in your area, whether it be Little League, baseball, football, soccer, T-ball, whatever. Don't forget also dance instructors, and offer your motivational skills and drills and exercises and flexibility drills that we do to the soccer kids, to the baseball kids, to build their coordination. Talk to the coaches and tell them how you want to help them have a better team. And then when we go back to that whole event, offer them some kickback. If they get their kids to join in the off season, you could give them kickback and sponsor their teams, maybe buy them equipment, maybe buy them, you know, put your name on the back of their shirts and so on. But no matter what we do, we can offer them these services to make them better players. The coaches don't want to lose them, but they definitely want them to become better. And they also, sometimes the coaches are overwhelmed. They're parents that work all day, love their kids enough to coach at night, and they're just overwhelmed. If they could get you to come in for an hour once a week or once a month or once every 2 weeks, they're going to take advantage of that. So you got to start to build rapport. How do we do this? Go down to the fields where all the kids play. Give them your card with a letter and say, listen, I know you're busy. Maybe you could take a chance to read this. I want to help your team become a better team. And remember, you could get them to kick back, and it, you know, if you offer them a kickback too, there's a lot of crossover members. You'll see a lot of people really move to your direction. Number five, contact your schools via the letter that I talked about before, but also contact the PTA, the guidance counselors, and ask them if you could be of help to any of the children that are having struggles. If kids are being bullied, you could give them literature on bullying and send that to the guidance counselors. Mail it to all your guidance counselors and become the expert in your town on helping children be able to be bully-proof. Number six, this is totally unrelated to marketing, but you could do a gear sale, a used gear sale, to get rid of all your old gear. By doing this used gear sale, you kind of create this synergy in your school where people are buying stuff to practice at home that they may not have bought it because of the prices maybe too high on a Wavemaster or a big kick pad. But it also allows you to get rid of the old gear and buy new gear and create this kind of environment where your school is always looking as professional as possible. Number seven, start thinking about a fall event. For instance, your school, an event that you will host, whether it be your Christmas holiday slash party or a bowling night or a special night that will build synergy in your school. We booked last January our Christmas party for this year, and we have a huge Christmas party. This is a sit-down dinner. Everyone wears suits and ties. We have probably about 200 to 300 people. I used to do it where I'd rent a hall, pay $1,000 for the hall, and it would be everyone brings their own specialty dish, and they come in with their dish and plop it down for their favorite food that they make in their family. Everyone gets a sample of every different culture and food and different tastes of desserts and so on, and it costs people nothing. Actually, the only cost that I would charge people to get into this party was they had to donate a can of food per family member. And we'd get boxes upon boxes of food for the holidays to give to homeless shelters or soup kitchens and so on. That's number seven, special event. Number eight, get your students motivated for upgrades by pre-framing them continually. You know, I would do a two-week membership sale. For instance, you can have a special where any sibling comes in for 2 weeks, you give it to them for, I don't know, $9.99. Or you could give a 10% discount on all the people that upgrade from their regular program to, let's say, a black belt club or to a master's elite program. And if you don't have these kind of programs, you guys should definitely contact me because you're missing a huge amount of motivation and income. You want to get people to be able to bounce around to more elite programs in your school and actually pay more money but get more benefits. So number eight was get your students motivated for upgrades by pre-framing them continually. Number nine, get everyone motivated by doing a special seminar. For instance, I just had in my school Frank Shamrock. It was sold out in a matter of 2 weeks. We had 65 people at the seminar. It was a small income generator for me because, of course, Mr. Shamrock has to get paid, and he's an unbelievable teacher. So the students were just so hyped up. This coming week, or actually next week, August 22nd, we have Dan the B7 coming in. Later on this year, we have Chris Sayak of Sayak Kali coming in. He's the one who taught Tommy Lee Jones in the movie The Hunted and Benicio Del Toro's. So we get these world-renowned people in to build this motivation and excitement in our school. And listen, if you make $500 per seminar profit, that's worth it. It's worth your 3 hours of your time or your day of time to make $500. You have to ask yourself, how many people make $500 profit in a day? Next and the last one so far, and I've hammered this home over and over and over again, is push your referrals. Do a membership drive. You might say everybody who gets more than 10 people to 10 referrals on a piece of paper with this period of time, from, let's say, September to October 15th, you'll be entered into a contest to win $500 in cash. whatever you could do to make the stakes high. I talk about it, if you were to auction off a Corvette and say, if it has to be a minimum of 100 people that we get signed up throughout the entire school from everybody, we want them to sign up and do pay in fulls, we will auction off for the person who's get 40 or more referrals that sign up, you win the brand new 2005 Corvette. The numbers actually work. You can actually, if you signed up 100 people for a $1,500 contract, you'd make $170,000 or something like that, I think. Around there. I'm just roundabout. You could easily buy a Corvette and auction it off, have it in your showroom or in your parking lot. Just imagine the power of that. Well, anyway, these are just 10 quick ideas. And then before I open for questions, I have two little homework assignments for you guys. But right now, I'm going to actually – let me open up for questions, and then I'll do the homework assignment. So let me open it up for questions. Anybody on those last 10 bits or any other questions? And then we'll do general questions at the end. So on these 10 things, anybody?
Ellie?
Yes.
How's it going, sir?
Good. How are you?
Brian over at Sidekicks.
How about?
I got a question on the drive there.
Oh, I'm good. Mm-hmm.
The lead generation drive?
Right.
You said something about a Corvette.
Yeah.
Now, how would you work that? You would –
Well, you know, the theory, understand that I don't want to push this to anybody and people go wild, but I thought about it, and it's all about the power of finances that you have in your school.
Right.
But you'd have to set it up into a way where you probably have to talk to an attorney. And, I mean, I'm talking big now. You know what I mean? Like, this is large. But if you think about it, let's just say a car costs $40,000, right? And you sign up 40 people at $1,000 a year, but you do 40 paying for it, you could easily pay for the car.
Right.
But now, hopefully, those 40 people – will buy $250 worth of gear and refer another 40 people. So is it worth it? Absolutely. It buzzes your school. I mean, just imagine the dynamics of an event like that.
So there would be, let's say, students in the school.
Oh, is that? I'm sorry. Say that again.
Are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Students in the school.
Right.
Go out and refer friends and family members.
Hmm.
Okay, so they have to have a minimum number of people to be...
Yeah, you'd have to set rules that covered you to cover the cost of the car.
Right.
You know,
right.
As crazy as that may sound, you could do this and do a four-day package on a cruise
right.
to the Bahamas
yeah.
that maybe cost you $3,000 out front pay up, and it'd have to be that you'd have to have 10 sign-ups from it to make it worth it to you.
I was thinking about this last month.
Right.
And the thing that came to my mind is a plasma TV.
Yeah, well, that's a good one.
You know what I mean? I mean, you put it right on the wall at the school.
Absolutely.
Have the thing turned on. People, when they get to see it. You know?
Anything that excites members to get going, but it's got to be tangible. You know, it can't be something that people have. You know, a lot of people auction off the Xbox and the GameCube
right,
and all
right.
those things. Sometimes they're just not, you know, everyone has them. It's like saying, get a free cell phone. Well, everyone's giving them out. What does it matter? You know, you got to make it something exciting and you got to build it. But also be careful at how you word it because you don't want to get two referrals and give a $5,000 plasma away. And then you could actually, whenever we do this stuff, I would go to PC Richards, let's say, and say, I want to auction off a plasma screen TV. If you give it to me for half price, I know it costs $4,200, you give it to me for $2,000, I will advertise your company for the next 6 months. Everyone who enters my referral contest will get a 10% coupon off in your store, and you do co-op advertising with this company to create a discount so that you don't pay $4,000 for the plasma, you pay
$2,000. How many times do you think she has sex in Jacksonville, Vic?
Right.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Somebody has to mute their phone there. I hear some conversation in the back, and you guys are going to be talking to each other on conference.
My contact is in Jacksonville.
I didn't, you know, people, please.
All right, any other questions?
Could you guys?
Huh?
Okay, Joanne, let's mute right now. But I'll go on and continue so we get them off the line. Okay. Amazing. Somebody's back there having a conversation and not listening. Okay.
Very true. That's a very poignant statement there, Alex.
Isn't it amazing how, you know, at least we got them to the conference call. Now if we could get them to listen to the conference call, they'd probably get benefits out of it.
Yeah, half the battle, right?
I'm sarcastic and at the same way I'm teaching. But anyway, here we go. I want to share an exercise with you guys. I was just talking to Brian who was just speaking on the phone. He called me this morning and took advantage of asking me a few questions. So this is an exercise that I shared with him. And this is getting comfortable with sales. The most important thing is to get yourself comfortable with your presentation and your sales. And this is what I learned from acting. I did a little bit of acting and silly little movies and so on. But what I do normally with my staff is I ask them to do a mock telephone presentation, and I have them videotape themselves. They set the videotape on a tripod, video camera on a tripod, and tape themselves. And they film themselves while they're on the phone, and they do it with a typical cold call kind of client. They make the conversation up, how they would answer, how they would talk, how, and so on. Then we have some of them from our staff call the school and give them a little bit of resistance and some questions, and we have them do the phone call, and they watch themselves on the video recording. Then we have them record themselves through the video recording on a live prospective client, someone that just calls, boom, they hear the phone ring, they walk over and click on the video camera, and they record themselves. What we're doing here is creating a library for us to have reference of how we act and what we say, and we watch it back. When we watch it back, we look for things that we say, how many times we say the word how many times we say, you know what I mean, you know what I'm talking about, like that kind of thing, because sometimes people might say, uh-huh, yes, I do know what you're talking about, and they don't know a clue about what you're talking about. We start to evaluate ourselves on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst, and we start to look at ourselves in three categories: our level of professionalism, speaking, public speaking skills, and the clarity of how we speak and the verbiage and wording that we use. You know, I'm known for making words up as I talk. I, you know, blend words together and so on and so forth. I'm from New York. I speak very quickly. I sometimes want to speak without an accent. I don't want to be like the Joey Tribbiani's, you know, on Friends and saying, how you doing, like that. I want to make sure that I'm, you know, I'm clear. And I want, once I do this, I look at myself and I become better at what I do. I recognize my sticking points. I improve my sales and presentation skills. I also want to ask myself the question, would I buy from myself? If I were that client on the other end of the phone, if I were the prospect, would I buy? Was I convincing enough? Well, was I sellable? Do I sound knowledgeable and believable? Do I oversell? Do I tell people too much when they're going, okay, I'll see you. I'll be in on Thursday. Oh, yeah, well, when you come in on Thursday, we're going to really give you a – they've already been sold. Don't oversell. We need to do this so we watch ourselves. So once we'd be good at this, then I would shift the video camera to the floor, and I would tape some of my classes as I teach, or have a guy with a camera just watching me teach and recording my classes, and record a kid's class, record a teen class, record an adult class, and then find out and evaluate my teaching methods. Because I hate to say it, there's a direct relation to the success of your school based on the personality of the person who's teaching the classes. So there are guys out there that could be the best fighters in the world. They could be pit fighters. They could be UFC fighters. As a matter of fact, I had an unbelievable UFC school at the height of the Jiu-Jitsu UFC championships here in my area that tanked. How could they have tanked? I know if I was running that kind of school, it would have been unbelievable. But they tanked because they had no personality. They didn't have any teaching methods. They weren't professional. They weren't well-spoken, and so on. Now, when I videotaped myself on the floor, you could use this for upcoming videos. You could use it for testimonials. You could use it for little blurbs on your website. So not only are you just taping yourself to watch yourself and evaluate yourself, but you might hear a quote or something that you said that was profound that you may have forgotten and say, wow, that was pretty cool. Let me clip that in a little, you know, little clip and put it on my website. Let me put it together, all of these different classes, and put them together in a training manual for my students, or maybe I could put them together to train my staff. This is how you do a phone call. Once I get it down and I become professional at it, this is how I do the phone call. You never know. I actually took all of my old past videos from me teaching in seminars on the floor around the country, cooked pieces of it, and I made a video called The Warrior Spirit. And it's all recycled video, but it came out unbelievable. I produced and edited it myself, and I've sold 600 copies throughout the world on this video, which is pretty amazing. Not bad from something that was a learning experience for me, and also something that I could use in the future. So this is one thing that I'm going to give you as a homework assignment. Try it. It's fun. Talk into the camera. Introduce yourself. Hi, this is Ali Albrigo. I'm here to present the best class in the world. You know, hi, this is Ali Albrigo. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about children and the safety of children. This is the kind of concept that I'm talking about. Every time we do things in the martial arts, we need to be looking for self-improvement. You know, we need to be looking at getting ourselves to be the most professional in our business. The problem that we run into in our business is that we are surrounded by unprofessional people. So this person gets a bad taste from that person in the martial arts, so they're turned off forever to our school. And we need to start to change that image. We need to get some more name recognition. imagine you get like the top rap star in the world, which I do not like the message that's out there today, but imagine you got someone that really was in touch with children saying, the way I got to where I was through the martial arts. You know, hopefully that, you know, the image of rap is and the new music generation is really, really not where we want to be. But if we had somebody that people looked up to that was really a good person, genuinely a good person, out there promoting our art, we'd have much better overall recognition. You know, the sad reality is that martial art movies sometimes get people into our door, but usually it's about excitement of how they could kill people, beat people, break arms, and, you know, they're ninjas running around, and there are guys that could defend 50 different people, Marines, and so on. But they're really not promoting the goodness of what we do. So we need an ambassador, really. That's what we need to look for. Okay, that's it. I'm going to actually get on to questions now, and this is open forum questions, but please make sure that you're star sixing yourself when you're sitting there. Or else we're going to find out who you are, and we're going to not let you on anymore. So let's open up the phones, and we have 15 minutes. Let's get into it. Anybody out there? Just start firing questions away. No questions? You're going to kill me now. Does anyone have a question?
If you're trying to release yourself from star six, all you need to do is hit star six again if you'd like to ask a question.
Okay. Well, that means one of two things. One, I covered so much information, and you guys are, you know, that you guys had enough today. Or two, you're not sure of what to ask, and that's okay too. So, but I'd like to, like, one question on the floor that's why I'll do open forum questions may stimulate other people to ask similar questions or questions of another style. So you could, you know, if you want to ask me about back to school specials, what I'm doing, anything that we're doing, discounts, so on and so forth, programs, a curriculum, that becomes a big event. I know I just had a recent amount of people email me in reference to my last email that I had sent out. Joanne had forwarded me a lot of people commenting on this last email. I don't know if you guys have read it about why I had a student that the mom refused to out and out fill out our letter of intent and talk to us. She didn't want to have anything to do with us whatsoever. She just wanted her daughter to train. So, you know, anything on any questions at all? If not, I'm going to get into some other stuff.
Hey, Howie, this is Ahmed calling from Baltimore, Maryland.
How are you, sir?
Fine, sir. I'm in partnership with my wife. And
great.
Sometimes it's difficult for us to separate the marriage issue from the business issue.
Yeah. Is she on the line?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to say anything then. No, I'm just joking. I think that this has always been a very difficult and touchy situation. I think the best thing, and, you know, giving advice as a martial art teacher and a business owner to you guys would be to separate responsibilities so that you handle your stuff, she handles her stuff, and that you guys don't overlap and don't judge each other based on what you're doing. That's the most important thing. Because I find that even a relationship of a partnership of two people who are just in a partnership in a business, the biggest problem is that people have a specific belief of what the other person should be doing and how they should be doing it. That's kind of one of the myths as well, that that is not necessarily always true and to be the case. For instance, I can't expect you to do a job a specific way because you might not work that way. The bottom line is the end result, and we want to always be on the same page when the end result is reached. So, but I would suggest to you guys is to divide up responsibilities and then work together at those responsibilities and then share with each other and help each other. That's the biggest and hardest thing with any partnership. I think partnerships fold and they go break up, whether it be a marriage partnership or a business partnership, because people stop following the same path and they have different visions of the path. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah, always remember that, you know, people may say to you that, you know, even in relationships with marriage or friendships, that blue, if you say, hey, you love the color blue, and then they say, I love the color blue, wow, we have that in common. Well, your color blue could be 70 shades different than the color blue of your spouse or friend or partner. So even though you think that you like the color blue, the blues could vary so far that you're not even on the same page. So communication is a key, and having a set of requirements to follow and responsibilities, it would make it a lot easier for you.
So let me ask you a quick question just
sure.
to clarify. I'm pretty much the instructor on the floor, and
okay.
she handles the responsibility of program director.
Great.
should I assist her in doing any of that, or should I leave all of that up to her?
It really all depends on her workload. If she's capable of doing it all herself and she prefers that, then I would let her do that. But if she needs help, then as the head instructor, or if you were the owner and it was someone else doing it for you, you would probably want to lend a hand.
Right.
But you got to do it in a way that you guys both agree on it and that there's no clash of philosophy, that it doesn't, the biggest problem with me is I would never want to have my wife work for me if we were going to fight on issues. I'd rather have her work somewhere else for someone else, and we'd both come home and she'd moan and groan about her boss, I'd moan and groan about my clients, and we'd have a common thing. We could talk about how bad everyone was to us, but we wouldn't be fighting with each other.
Right.
So the key is to make sure that you always work together in synergy towards the greater common goal and always respect each other's ability in workplace. That's very, very important with this. Forget relationships and husband and wife, but that's important with your employees as well. Assume that everyone can do the job better than you could do it, and let them do their best to do it. And if they need help, you help them.
Ali, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. I hope that made some sense.
It did, sir.
Okay, anybody else out there?
Ali?
Yes, sir.
Larry Bullard again in Georgia.
How are you?
Great. I'm at a crossroads where I can either expand the facility that I'm in, and I'm in a fitness center, or I can expand to another fitness center 10 miles away. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, absolutely. This is the main question you need to ask yourself. The first question is this: is the facility that you're in that you can expand expandable? Is the clientele there for you? Like, can you get more people in the existing location and grow that exponentially? Or are you at your, like, you know, are you totally at your peak of capability there?
Are you asking me now?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
No, I'm not at my peak.
Okay. Then I suggest you take your existing location and build that to the point where it's busting at the seams before you even think about going anywhere else. I'm going to tell you this from past experience, that I own 5 schools fully owned by myself. Why did I do it? Most probably I did it out of ego. I did it because back in the day, 15 years ago, I wanted to be a well-known, recognized martial arts school in my art. I wanted to be a person that people looked upon as a professional and an expert. And I opened up many schools so I could get as many students as possible, and it was a nightmare. When I opened my second location, I was not at all – I was prepared. I knew what to do, but I also taxed. I put pressure on my first location. And no matter what, until you're busting at the seams at your first location, maximizing day and evening classes 7 days a week, and have a huge amount of staff with backup staff members, don't even think about a secondary location, because why bother? Most people have the philosophy of saying, I have one school – I'm doing really well. I'm making a few thousand dollars a month. If I had 2 schools and I'm making $3,000 at the first location, I'll be making $6,000 at the second, with the 2 locations combined. It doesn't work that way. What happens is usually the first location suffers because you, as the head owner and personality and so on, starts to separate themselves between the two, and people don't appreciate it as much. And then you have staff issues that you never imagined, that's why I said we need to train our staff to the ability where they're going to be so good that you could move to Thailand for a year, and all you're going to do is look at your bank account.
That brings up another question.
Yeah.
So I haven't developed staff yet. I'm doing very well as a one-man team.
Okay.
So would I develop staff as by-the-hour people, as leadership team, or as independent contractors?
I would do both. You know, I would try to see where your people are at. I have a team leadership character development program that pumps our younger kids into instructor positions. And then we have 4 levels in our school: the beginner level, the black belt club level, the master's elite level, and the instructor level. Those are the instructors. We want to get those people to go through master's elite right into instructor training. And from instructor training, either do one of 2 things: open up a school or teach on their own. Teach within our facility, I'm saying. So we want them to take over a position in our existing location, or I could open up a location and put them in it. That's what instructor training is for.
And how would you pay them?
It all depends. That's a whole other topic we could go into. You could email me on that, because that could probably take like an hour. There's commissions and compensations, and there's base salaries and so on. It all depends on your philosophy and what you're capable of at your school. I would schedule a one-on-one if you'd like with me, and I could go over that with you. It's probably going to take a little bit of time.
Okay.
So do that. And people, take advantage of the one-on-ones with myself and Melody. You could get us for a half an hour and speak to us. Not like I'm anything special, but if I have something I could share with you, I will share it. I'll email you stuff. I'll email you flyers. But I know that, you know, I wished back when I had opened my schools that I had some mentors and people that I could look up to and ask questions and say, how does this not happen and why does this happen and so on. Any other questions? I think we have room for one more question.
I will do that. Do you like to do it in that? Do you like to do it after?
No one out there? Okay, no problem at all. Well, what I'm going to do is close this up because I have about 2 minutes. So I want to put out an offer to you guys, and I've done this before, is that I want to offer to you guys that I'm available to you via email. You can email me either through the Member Solutions website. I know that Joanne now is taking on a task, which is annoying for her, or maybe not annoying, but taxing for her, to filter through my emails and send me the emails that are, you know, questions and that are legitimate. Sometimes people just say thank you, and we appreciate that. I have to tell you guys, all you people I want to thank, because all the nice emails that you send to Member Solutions goes towards Joe Gallia and to Jeff Cohen and to Steve Panato, and that's why they keep me around, because people have seemed to gotten some good information out of what I do and what I say. So I'm hoping to help share with everybody. My goal as a consultant is not to make money on the consulting business, although that's a great side benefit. It's really just to say, hey, I got a buddy in Miami, Florida. I got a buddy in Canada. I'm actually flying out next month to go teach an instructor training program to a Gracie Jiu-Jitsu Center in Ottawa, Canada. And this is people who are Member Solutions people. I'm going to go there and train the staff, spend some time, evaluate their school. So depending on my schedule, I or maybe one or two of my staff members are available to help you guys with that. My offer is email me on a regular basis at renshi.li.ninja@aol.com. That's renshi.li.ninja@aol.com. And I also want to make you guys aware that I have a website called takingittothenextlevel.com, takingittothenextlevel.com. It is a unbelievable site. We're building membership up quite quickly, and it's a curriculum-based website, basically geared towards giving you systems on a month-to-month basis in a format and in order so that you guys could learn what systems to go into place. The problem with consulting these days is that there's so much information. We're in information overload. All the different associations have everything you need, but you don't know where to put it in place. When do we start a leadership team? When do we think about opening up a multiple school? When do we do instructor training? We're in this industry where we have a curriculum for our students, but just imagine you took every technique that you taught from beginner to black belt, threw it into a blender, and let students choose it as they felt like learning it. Learn the black belt kata when they wanted, learn a bow kata when they wanted, learn a technique when they wanted, and then think about what kind of student they would be. You and I all know that they have to learn starting off as a beginner, going to white belt, building their skills to yellow or whatever your belt ranking system is, and you learn until you become certain levels of ability, and then you move forward. In the martial art business, we just throw tons of information out at you, and I know everyone will agree with me that what happens is you get your head, it starts to hurt, it's spinning, you don't know what to do, when to do it, how to get it done. So what do? We just keep on doing what we're doing. We stay in the same place that we were, because even though we're motivated, highly motivated to move forward, it's just too much work to do it because we don't know how to do it. So anyway, that's what Taking It to the Next Level is about, is a system of events that we do with programs. And some people join and go, I already do these. Okay, let's work on them. Let's get them better. Let's do this and add to it and tweak it a little bit to make it that much more better for you. So that much better for you. Now, if you're interested, I'm giving away a free month, and you can only get one free month because some people have tried to get a free month over and over again. But we have a free month. All you have to do is email me at renshi.li.ninja@aol.com, and I'll send you the password for the first month free and to get an idea and a feel for it. And I'd love to have you on there so I could help you. But anyway, I'm here as a client, Member Solutions consultant for you guys. I hope you had a good time today. I hope that you got some information out of this. Please email me with your comments. I love to get testimonials for our APS and Member Solutions website. So if you guys are having a good time and you're enjoying the information, please don't hesitate to tell the staff. And let's thank Joanne, too, because Joanne, without fail, is unbelievable at making sure that everything is always at the utmost level of professionalism. All right, you guys.
Thanks, Sally.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Have a great day. Hope to hear from you guys on email. Bye-bye.
Thanks.